As we are experiencing what we call Holy Week, it's interesting that on the Friday that Jesus was crucified, there were riots in Jerusalem over that. And last night, Good Friday, there were riots again in Jerusalem, and just not a very settled place. Till the Lord returns. I wrote this message for April 9th of 2023, titled it Jesus's First Sunday, and we're going to read the Gospel of Mark chapter 16. My outline, Jesus's First Sunday, Jesus's resurrection is point one, point two, Jesus's appearances, point three, Jesus's commission. My introduction goes like this. I have an idea that I don't remember any other sage saying or showing or sharing with God's people. Last week, we remembered Jesus' triumphant entry on Palm Sunday. Let's call that his first entry. Today, we'll look at Jesus making his second triumphant entry into heaven. Jesus had accomplished that part of his mission. Can you imagine what goes on in heaven when Jesus returns home after this great victory? It's got to be a spectacular homecoming, any way you look at it. So I'm thinking Jesus' first entry was into the earthly temple, in which he proceeded to clean his father's house on Palm Sunday. It may be good for us to note and connect the dots that on Jesus cleaning and clearing the earthly temple, after Jesus announced his ministry way back when, 3 years ago, in his first Passover, he went to Jerusalem, he there again cleared and cleaned the temple. So his last Passover, he did the same thing. First time he went to Passover, when he started his mission, 3 years later, when he went on Passover, he did the same thing, cleared and cleaned the temple. What I'm thinking and trying to communicate is a full circle of completeness in Jesus Christ's ministry. First Passover, Jesus cleared and cleaned his father's house, and the last Passover, Jesus cleared and cleared his father's house. The first triumphant entry on earth into the earthly temple, the next triumphant entry on Easter to his triumphant entry into the heavenly temple. Jesus' next triumphal entry is at the end of the age of grace, which is coming soon. Are you ready for that? My best guess is it'll be on the Feast of Tabernacles Judgment Day. So in church, I'm going to have one of the gentlemen read Jesus's resurrection, Mark 16, 1 to 8. Goes like this. The Sabbath day ended, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James, and Salome brought spices. The Sabbath day entered. They were going to apply them to Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, they were on their way to the tomb. It was just after sunrise. They asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" Then they looked up and saw the stone had been rolled away, and the stone was very large. They entered the tomb. As they did, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe. He was sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be afraid," he said. "You're looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. But he has risen. He's not here. See the place where they put him? Go, tell the disciples and Peter. He's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. It will be just as he told you." Then the women were shaking and confused. They went out and ran away from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. Now, I'm going to have a lady in church read this part. Jesus appears to Mary Magdalene, Mark 16, 9. Jesus rose from the dead early on the first day of the week. He appeared first to Mary Magdalene, who had driven out 7 demons. She went and told those who had been with him. She found them crying. They were very sad. They heard that Jesus was alive and that she had seen him, but they did not believe it. After that, Jesus appeared in a different form to two of them. This happened while they were walking out in the country. The two returned to find others, to tell others about it, but they didn't believe him either. So then I'm going to have one of the other gentlemen read Jesus' Great Commission, Mark 16:14. Later, Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were eating. He spoke firmly to them because they had no faith. They would not believe those who had been there to see that he had rose from the dead. He said to them, "Go into all the world, preach the good news to everyone. Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved, but anyone who does not believe will be punished. Here are the miraculous signs that you can use for those who believe. They will speak in languages that they had not known before. They will pick up snakes with their hands, and when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well." When the Lord Jesus finished speaking to them, he was taken up into heaven. He sat down at the right hand of God. Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere. The Lord worked with them. And he backed up his word by the signs that went with it. And that is the beginning. That's Mark 16:20. So now I thought, the angel said, "Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified." This account leaves no doubt about who had risen from the tomb. The idea of some unbelievers that the woman went to the wrong tomb is just laughable when I read it. He is risen. Christ's resurrection is one of the central truths of the Christian faith. And my simple thinking, it's the only plausible explanation for the empty tomb. The fact that the Jewish leaders did not deny the reality of the empty tomb is evidence of his resurrection. So, our outline, Jesus' first Sunday, Jesus' resurrection. Jesus told his disciples three times in his last weeks of ministry that he would be murdered and then resurrected. A on your outline. Jesus is dead, and your blank is dead. There will be some who question the truth of the events of Jesus' last day on earth, but few will doubt his murder. When Jesus died, he finished that segment of the divine mission. Then what did he do next? Jesus' soul and spirit went into heaven to the throne of God. This is the Jesus' human part, and it's just like we have. When we die as born-again believers, this is what we will do. Our soul and spirit will wait patiently for our resurrection body. Jesus had a very short 3-day wait to get his resurrection body. Now note, Mark's gospel is the only one that gives us this discussion of the girls on their way to the tomb. None of the other gospels have that in them. Please make note that this stone was not rolled out to let, was not rolled back to let Jesus out, but to let these witnesses in. Don't be confused. The reason the angel rolled it away was so the witnesses could get in. Jesus did not need it to be rolled away. Be on your outline. God is waiting. God is waiting, and your blank is waiting. What do you think I mean by this point on my outline? The Message translation of Mark 16:5 says, "They saw a man sitting on the right hand dressed in all in white." God ordered this angel to be at his post patiently waiting for these women. He was sitting there patiently waiting for these women to arrive so he could give them the message. And God is patiently waiting for you and for me. So, what have you been sensing from the Holy Spirit? what's been on your mind that possibly God is saying he would like you to do? He's patiently waiting for you to respond to that indication, that unction, that conviction of the Holy Spirit. God's love, God's grace are waiting for our obedience. Let's step out in faith like Mary and the girls did. See on your outline, Jesus has risen. Jesus has risen, and risen is your blank. To be honest, I know that this is the truth, but I still find it so incredible it's hard to imagine or understand. Our lives as born-again believers are not centered or focused on understanding of this. We live by faith. What I'm trying to say is we don't need to understand how it worked to believe it. We just believe it because it's true. On my outline, I put some pictures from when I was in Israel, the place where Jesus was crucified, and the skull. And then I put in a very short distance from there, there is a tomb cut into the same side of the limestone mountain. And I went in there, and there was this track in front of it. There's a picture of a track in front of the door. And then there's this big round stone sitting in the garden, and I sat down next to that stone and contemplated for a while. Now, whether that's the exact tomb that Jesus was put in, the people that were there, evangelicals that owned that spot, said, we really don't know, but we believe it is because it fits all the criteria. It's right on the road where all the people coming into town would have seen Jesus crucified. It has the skull. And it is very close, so it could very well be the tomb of Jesus. This truth, this belief, is at the center of all our life, all our relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Note that Jesus' resurrection early on Sunday morning is why we now meet Sunday morning rather than Friday afternoon. D on your outline, Jesus kept his promise. Jesus kept his promise, and the blank is kept. One can trust Jesus' promises. Yes? Right? The NIV said, go tell his disciples and Peter he's going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he had told you. That's the end of the NIV. In the message, it says, you'll see him there exactly as he said. The NIV says, there you will see him just as he told you. Any way you translate that, Jesus told them the truth. He told them several times of what was going to happen. Any way you translate it, the disciples did not believe him when he told them and when the witnesses told them. See, on one hand, that makes my heart break and I'm sad. But on the other hand, it gives me personal comfort. I think of it this way. If those men who had personally been with Jesus for 3 years struggled in their effort to believe, then my personal struggles to believe are similar. And I think Jesus will be as patient with me as he was with them. Please note that I should personally expect the same response from Jesus we will look at next. So our outline, Jesus' first Sunday, we looked at his resurrection. Secondly, Jesus' appearances. Jesus' experience of triumph in heaven is short, and now he's back on his mission on earth. A on your outline, Jesus appeared first to Mary. Jesus appeared first to Mary, and your blank is first. Why her? Why Mary? Like we saw earlier in Mark's gospel with Levi and his friends, she was an interesting choice. Jesus sitting down with Levi and the tax collectors and the prostitutes and the sinners were interesting choices. And him appearing first to Mary is an interesting choice. Why her? These women took the first chance they had to honor Jesus after his death. Is that for us? Is that written there for us? The first chance they had to honor Jesus, they did. Would that be a good attitude for us to adopt? These women walked right at their fear and difficult problems. The Romans and the big stone were a problem. But they walked toward these challenges. I believe their motivation was based on love and gratitude. They walked even as they wondered how about the success of their mission. Be on your outline. Jesus appears to two disciples. Why these two? Is it surprising? My study notes in several Bibles don't have any comment on these two. I read several Bibles study notes on this section of the Bible and the scriptures, and nobody writes anything about this. I thought that was interesting. I will just follow what they did, and I will not give them much commentary. See on your outline, Jesus appeared to the 11. Jesus appeared to the 11, and the blank is 11. Personally, I was hoping I would find some opinions on he spoke to them sternly about their refusal to believe. So when I said earlier that I should expect the same effect from Jesus when I don't believe, I should expect it would be just like this, that he will speak to me sternly. But sadly, nobody wanted to write about the rebuke. Jesus gave them about their lack of faith. There wasn't a lot of commentary about this rebuke that he gave them because they were not faithful. There were commentaries on water baptism, the fact, the truth that one is saved by God's grace through faith in Christ. They used an illustration, was often the repentant thief on the cross. Salvation is possible without water baptism. Encouraging new believers to demonstrate or illustrate their new faith in baptism is always a great idea, but it's not essentially necessary. So our outline, Jesus' first Sunday, his resurrection, Jesus' appearances, and last, Jesus' commission. A on your outline, Jesus spoke firmly to them because they had no faith. Jesus spoke firmly to them because they had no faith. I gave you three blanks, firmly, no faith. How do you picture this event, this attitude in Jesus? Is there a memory in your mind of something similar in the past where someone spoke sternly to you? They would not believe those who had seen him and rose from the dead. That was the problem. They would not believe. What is your best guess as to why they did not believe? What do you think? Why did they not believe? Do you have a better idea than they were filled with fear? It may be that some of them were so overwhelmed with grief that it was just debilitating to them. That's possible. But my best guess is fear. They were afraid. Be on your outline. Jesus said, go to all the world. Jesus said, go to all the world. And go is your blank. Preach the good news to everyone. This is our first step in making disciples, that we share the good news with people. It's just the beginning, though. Someone becoming born again, being saved, redeemed, made righteous, forgiven, that's just the first step. That's not the whole completed process. I've gotten into trouble with this illustration in the past when I shared it, but it's still the best one I have. The process of making disciples is much like the process of making children. They're very similar. In making disciples, salvation is the first step, and it's the easy part. In making children, conception is the first step, and that's the easy part. After salvation, there's an extended period of time of personal relationship to develop a disciple. After physical birth, there's an extensive period of time of personal relationship in developing children. The women walking in the dark faced impossible obstacles. There's the Roman guards, the huge rock in front of the tomb. So what do you think urged these women to walk forward to things that looked impossible? Do you have a better idea than their love and gratitude to Jesus motivated them? As you and I think about our part of obeying his great commission, do you see obstacles? Do you see big obstacles in you fulfilling this commission? The church's mission, our mission, is to take the gospel to all the world. That often seems to be obstructed by obstacles. Each of us individually, and our little fellowship in Kalita, it appears to me to be similar to the ladies walking in the dark. But holding to that comparison, if we wholeheartedly walk in faith and dependency surrendered to Christ, it seems to me we'll experience the same result they did. See on your outline, Jesus gave some signs to the believers. Jesus gave some signs to the believers, and gave is your blank. Is his promise the same as the first promise Jesus gave his disciples earlier in the message? So earlier in the message, he promised them that he was going to be killed, crucified, and buried, and then rise again. He promised that, but they didn't believe it. So they got into trouble. So is this promise that Jesus gave signs to believers the same? Is that the same problem? If it doesn't happen, it's because of us and our unbelief? Do you think Jesus has broken his promise? Do you think he told us that he would give us these signs and then he took it back? When I was a kid, they used to call it Indian giver. Do you think that's what happened? Or do you think, like I do, that most likely it's us that have broken the covenant? I think that's highly probable. I think this is like many of the illustrations we're reading about in the Old Testament Bible study, where God told the Israelites to do this, and they did it for a while, and then they didn't, and then they got into trouble. I think we have wandered from the true love-centered faith and a willing total submission and thankful obedience to Jesus Christ. I think that's why we don't see these signs taking place, that we'd wandered from a love-centered faith and a willing total submission and thankful obedience to Jesus Christ. I think for you and I, Easter Sunday would be a good day to step out and stop testing God's patience. Us not obeying this commission is testing his patience. Like the angel sitting in the tomb, patiently waiting, God will be patient for a while, but he won't be patient forever. We need to act. You think that's true? Here's my conclusion. I took this from the Message translation. Then the Master Jesus, after briefing them, was taken up to heaven, and he sat down beside God in a place of honor. Jesus did his part magnificently. He finished his mission magnificently. And Jesus now sits patiently waiting for our response at the right hand of power of God. How will you respond? Will you take a step of faith? Maybe believing in Christ's resurrection by faith for the first time? Or will you take another step of faith in your fellowship with him? Jesus has given each of us the faith to take the next step, whether it's the first step of faith towards being redeemed and born again and saved, or if it's the next step of our walk of obedience in going and making disciples. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we are deeply thankful that you had recorded in Mark's gospel this testimony of Jesus' resurrection and the testimony of the people that witnessed it and the truth about the response of his followers. Father, I just pray that we would be more like the ladies and the two men walking on the road believing in Jesus, rather than like the 11, not. So, as Easter Sunday winds down, would you please bless us and encourage us in our walk? We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. For I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. Hallelujah. Christ is risen from the grave. Hallelujah. Christ is risen from the grave. Everything has changed. Hallelujah. Christ is risen from the grave. Hallelujah. Christ is risen from the grave. Oh death, where is your sting? Oh fear, where is your power? The mighty King of kings has disarmed. Your open arms and the beauty of your face. Through tears of joy, I lift my voice in everlasting praise. Your open arms and the beauty of your face. Through tears of joy, I lift my voice in everlasting praise. Hallelujah. Christ is risen from the grave.